be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come. Protect us by your strength, and save us from the threatening dangers of our sins. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
First reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 64th chapter. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil. To make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways, but you are angry and we sinned because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. So we are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 80 responsively. Hear, O Shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock. Shine forth, you that are enthroned upon the cherubim.
In the presence of Ephraim, Benjamin, stir up your strength and come to help us.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved.
O Lord, God of hosts, how long will you be angry despite the prayers of your people?
You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have given them bowls of tears to drink.
You have made us the derision of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh us to scorn.
Restore us, O God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved.
Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, the Son of Man, whom you have made so strong for yourself.
And so we never turn away from you. Give us life that we may call upon your name.
Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The second reading is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, the first chapter. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him in speech and knowledge of every kind. Just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 13th chapter. Jesus said, "In those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at the dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." The Gospel of the Lord. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I would like to ask the question. Any of you camp out in line in front of Best Buy or Radio Shack in order to get that newest must-have electronic device that went on sale this week? Any of you stand in line at the grocery store the day before Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving morning? Any of you stand in line at the mall or at the stores on the day after Thanksgiving? No, we do a lot of waiting. We do a lot of standing in line. I remember when I was in seminary, I always carried in my pocket or in my purse my flashcards for Greek so that no matter when I had even a second, I would be able to study, be able to use that pen. I really don't mind waiting too much. It doesn't bother me to wait. Now, my sister, however, my youngest sister, she hates waiting. She won't go to a restaurant that has one of those signs that says, "Please wait to be seated." She doesn't want to go there. She doesn't go to a grocery store. If she walks into the store and she sees that there's three people in a line at a checkout counter, too crowded. She's not going to go to that store. She hates waiting. Now, maybe you're more like my sister and really hate waiting, or maybe you're more like me and you know don't really mind waiting. But either way, we spend a lot of time waiting. We spend a great deal of time waiting. Waiting to hear if you got the job. Waiting to get the test results from that last lab test. Waiting for your children to come home. Waiting for your children to leave home. Waiting for the other shoe to drop. We do a lot of waiting. Children seem to have the most difficult time with waiting. We have this story in our family. My mother was taking care of her two little nephews while her sister was in the hospital having her third child. And the children were very used to having their mom give them lots of attention, and they were just bugging their aunt, Zelda, and driving her crazy. And finally, she, in patience, she said, "Just hold your horses." And about 30 seconds later, She turned around to see her two little nephews with their arms full of their toy horses, saying, "Now what?" They were holding their horses. All of our readings today are about waiting. Isaiah, in waiting and longing, cries out to God. His whole world was very wrong. Everything seemed wrong in the world for Isaiah. And he cries out to God, "Oh, that you would rip open the heavens and come down. Tear open the heavens and come down now. God, we are waiting. We need you." The writer of the Psalms asks God for forgiveness. He cries out and says, "How long will you be angered despite the prayers of the people? Restore us, O Lord God of hosts." And then in the Gospel, on this first Sunday of Advent, Jesus tells his followers to wait for his return and to keep awake. To keep awake and to wait. Now, this biblical waiting is not at all like the waiting we do when we're standing online in Walmart, toe tapping, looking ahead, even switching lines. You know, that line looks a little shorter. They've proven that switching lines makes you wait longer. It just doesn't seem as long. Biblical waiting is not about standing. It's about doing. Biblical waiting is about anticipating, but what we do while we're waiting. Loving, serving, caring. It's what we're doing while we're waiting. That's the difference between the waiting, just standing around, passive waiting, and active waiting. But Jesus says something that's very interesting in this passage. He says, wait, but then he says, beware. Keep alert. Stay awake. Now, I don't think Jesus was saying, beware, because I'm going to sneak up behind you and scare you, or I'm coming, and beware that I'm coming. Jesus was saying, I think, a way that we can look at this, is that Jesus says, beware, because the world that we live in is a world that takes our attention. We can get distracted. We can fall asleep. We can nod off in our waiting. And Jesus says, beware. The world can deceive us and lead us away from following the right way. You know, children say to their parents, but everybody's doing it. And parents and adults try to keep up with the Joneses. Everybody's getting a new car, or everybody's got whatever, and we try to keep up. Jesus says, beware. Maybe everybody is wrong. Watch out for them. Watch out for the people who would try to lead you away, seduce you from the truth. Watch out for those people who say that cheating is the only way you can get ahead. Watch out for those people who say that alcohol and drugs and sex is the only way to have a good time. Watch out for those people whose language and jokes are disrespectful to other people or to God. Watch out for that attitude that says, we only need to be concerned about me and mine. Watch out. Keep alert. Stay awake. You know, we live in a sinful society. We live in a society where people get beat up. In a Walmart, trying to get the best deal on a laptop computer. We live in a society where people strap bombs to themselves in order to kill their brothers and sisters whom they have named enemy. We live in a society where leaders in the world are more concerned about black holes in space than they are about feeding the people who live on the planet. We live in a world where people sell their own children into prostitution or slavery. We live in a sinful world. And it's easy to get sucked into thinking that the way of the world is the only way, is the way. And Jesus says, beware, watch out, stay awake, keep alert, don't get sucked in. Another time, Jesus uses these same words, keep awake. He's talking to the disciples who were with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when he finds that they have not nodded off to sleep, he nudges them awake and says, couldn't you stay awake 1 hour? Couldn't you stay awake? And while they are dozing, the third time that he's had to awaken them, while they're dozing, the people come and arrest Jesus. Now, if the disciples couldn't stay awake even for an hour, for that short time, how can we be expected to stay awake for our whole lives, to stay alert, to pay attention to the words of Jesus? We drift off. We get lost in ideas and activities of the world. We give our attention and our time to the things of the world which will pass away. And we fail to give our time and attention to the Word of God, which will never pass away. We invest in the world rather than invest in Jesus. Jesus says, beware, keep awake. But there's good news for us, sleepy disciples. There's good news. Remember what happened to those disciples in the garden when they had fallen asleep? Jesus didn't send them home and say, you're worthless. He didn't tell them that because they had fallen asleep, they weren't worthy to be his disciples. No, Jesus went to the cross and he died for all, even for sleepy disciples. Last week, in Matthew's gospel, we heard that story, that gospel that indicated the coming of King Jesus, which would bring judgment to all people, separating the sheep from the goats. And our young people did a gospel drama that showed us in a contemporary way what that judgment is about. But in the Gospel of Mark, that we started reading today, that we'll read during this liturgical year, Jesus doesn't return to judge, but rather Jesus comes to bring the message, the word of freedom for all people. He comes as a different kind of king with a different kind of kingdom. And that's what we're waiting for in Advent. That's what Advent waiting is about. We're waiting for this kingdom of God, this kingdom of God's freedom and peace to come to fullness, the kingdom that will never pass away, even as this world will pass away. There's a scripture scholar named James Edwards who has done extensive work on the Gospel of Mark, and he writes about this end time. All the signs that have been given add up to one conclusion. The end cannot be prepared for. That is because the end is not ultimately a then, but a mysteriously present now. The sole preparation for the end is watchfulness and faithfulness now. We prepare for the end, for that day of judgment, by living in watchfulness and faithfulness every day. Advent waiting is not about getting ready for Christmas. Advent waiting is about waiting for that kingdom, waiting for God. Like the people of Israel who longed for that Messiah to come, to fulfill their dreams and their hopes, to bring them words of freedom and peace. That longing for the Messiah is in us as well. Waiting for that kingdom, waiting for that coming of the Lord. The real gifts of this season are not the gifts that you stand in those long lines or go through those piles of catalogs. The real gifts of this season are not found in the packages that we wrap and put under the tree. The real spirit of this Christmas season is not the spirit that we add to our cider or to our eggnog in our holiday gatherings and parties. The real fulfillment of this season is not that special gift that we unwrap on Christmas morning. The real spirit and fulfillment and gift of this season is heeding Jesus' words. Beware, be alert, keep awake. These are strong words. These are words of caution as we enter this hectic time of year. Watch out, because this world can distract us from that kind of waiting that Jesus is calling us to. We can get spiritually tired when we have too much Christmas without enough Advent. When we focus on Christmas without being alert to our Advent waiting. So try this. As you find yourself waiting, any time in this week ahead, as you find yourself at a stop sign, or in the slowed down traffic, or standing in a line at the checkout counter, or on hold on the telephone, say the Advent prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus." And remember these words of Jesus when he says to us to stay awake, pay attention, be alert. Don't doze off from your Christian journey. Stay awake. Be focused on the Lord Jesus. The long-awaited one is coming. Let us stand ready to meet the Lord. Amen.
Amen.